we give honor to Pastor Ken and Becky, and we're so grateful for their invitation to Zelma and I and joining in and worshiping with you all. And she is helping our daughter. Probably by the end of the service, she'll be being picked up to move this week. And we vacationed with them in July, and they told us that it had been laid on their heart to move a little closer to where their son was having to attend school. As happens to many people in life, they had a divorce happened in their family, and being separated from those miles there in the Washington, D.C. area, if you're 10 miles apart, can still mean an hour drive. And so they wanted to move a little closer to where he would be with both parents closer. And we blessed and prayed with them. And they put their place up on the market. It sold in like 3 days. They had ultimate bids on the place. It got into a bidding war. And then they found a place while they were on vacation with us the last night on the computer and made a bid when they got back home. It was accepted 2 days later. They closed a week later, which I find unheard of almost. And so they had to get out. And I was kidding them a little bit. I said, you know, you guys are sort of like the boll weevil, always looking for a home. But the national pastime seems to be moving. People do not live like they used to in staying in a home for all of their life and leaving their home to their children and children's children. Amherst County and our surrounding counties, Campbell County as well, have lifelong farms. Fred Malier married into a situation with Ann down in Campbell County, edge of Pennsylvania County, down in there, where it's one of those historical marked farms, you know, and visiting them years back, she's had no mind to ever sell. That's just the mindset of that whole generation was passed on from grandparents down, and they built places for their children on their farms, and we have that going on. You know, when they look at you and you've told them that you were moved in your first 10 years of your life in Detroit, like myself, my dad moved 8 times. That meant I had to face 8 bullies. I was truly a rejected individual by the time I was 11 years old, you know. but, you know, those are things that God has in his plan. And not too long ago, 35 years ago, it seemed like just the other day, a pastor friend of ours that graduated Teen Challenge Cincinnati was holding revival for us there at New Life. It was one of the very first revivals we had had. And at Midways, he said, I've been praying for you and Zelma, and I have something I think God spoke to me for you guys. He had sat like we have with lunches and talked about our lives and all the things that we've gone through. And he said, the Lord just prompted me to tell you that those that are broken much are used much. I hope that blesses somebody here today, because this is a place that reaches out to the broken. What I have found about Victory Christian Fellowship here is that you look for the broken. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, I came not to judge, but to seek and to save those that are lost. Sadly, many people don't see themselves lost these days, so it's our job to bring the gospel to them. Amen? I want to share with you this morning something the Lord laid on my heart earlier in the week. And in Hosea, if you would like to turn there, I'll give you a few moments, since it's one of those really read a lot places, right? And turn to chapter 2. It's good to have other pastors here today as well. We are thankful for you. Thank you that you allow the grace of the Lord to speak through me. I know that you probably could handle this message maybe even better, but I want to obey God for what he's given to me today. Hosea's name, by the way, means salvation. It's a derivative of Yahshua and deliverer. Gomer in the Hebrew means to be completed. That's an amazing thing to consider a woman who is a prostitute, to think of her being completed, right? Father, we thank you today for your word as we enjoy the aspect that your grace is more than enough through Jesus. That your love is more than enough through Jesus. And we thank you that you have redeemed us from every kindred, tongue, and nation. One day we will stand before you and proclaim Jesus is Lord together. One faith, you, one Lord, one baptism. Thank you, Lord, for putting it together so well through Jesus Christ that it is by grace we are saved. In Jesus' name, we hide behind the cross today, seeking that you would show your love in a real revelation to your people today through this love story of Hosea and Gomer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A few things let me just set in context. God has Hosea ministering to the northern kingdom. There had been a dividing of Judah and Israel and the other 10 tribes that went that direction. And the kings, one after another, had led them into idolatry of various kinds. And it was a continual wooing of God. So he sent this special messenger, Hosea, to speak to that kingdom about his love. And his ministry wasn't having quite the effect. So God always has a plan. So he said, I want you to go and find this woman that I'm going to show you and marry her. She's not the woman that you would negotiate a contract with, like the traditional Hebrew marriage would be, where you would meet with their father and sit down and have a contract drawn up and make sure that she was a virgin and all of the particulars and details of a Jewish wedding set in order. No, he sent him down to the Detroit. It was over there at Woodward and John R. Here, Pierce Street and Fifth Street might be the location. It's the houses of ill repute. I want you to go to that community over there on Fifth Street, and I want you to walk, and I'm going to show you the woman I want you to marry. Huh. You know, there's guys that come to church to find the one they want to marry. Other guys, they go to singles clubs trying to find they want to marry. The biggest thing going right now is on the internet is all of this finding the perfect one for you. E-Harmony, Christian Mingle, all of those things, right? Well, sometimes Christian Mingle is Christian, and sometimes it's just Mingle. Hosea chapter 2 is sort of where we're going to jump to. So he finds the woman God wants him to marry. They have children. The name of these children is going to be revealing to the nature of the heart of God. God is about to perform a visible message in front of that northern kingdom through the life of Hosea. I liken this as being the shadow of the great love story of Jesus and his bride. Jesus is Hosea, and we're Gomer. And he sought us, and he purchased us, and he called us to be his own. Starting at verse 2, I bring charges against your mother. Bring charges, for she is not my wife, nor am I her husband. Let her put away her harlotries from her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. I will not have mercy on her children, for they are the children of harlotry. For their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my wine and my water and my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns, and I will and wall her in, excuse me, so that she cannot find her paths. She will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, and then it was better for me than now. For she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine, and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time, and my new wine in its season, and will take back my wool and my linen, given to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause all of her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, all of her appointed feasts, and I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she has said, these are my wages that my lovers have given me. So I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she burned incense. She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers. But me she forgot, says the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be removed by their name. They shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground, bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain and with new wine and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Then the Lord said to me, go again and love the woman who is loved by lovers, and it came and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be towards you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Lord, we thank you for your word. Today, I'd like to share with you four things in this story. Of course, this little 14-chapter book is filled with a lot of the things that was on the heart of God to be ministered to the people that were broken in the northern kingdom. So fits our nation here in America. We came from all kinds of places in life, and some have thought themselves maybe better than others because we came from here and they came from there, you know. But we have found it to be true, as it was in our Declaration of Independence and Constitution, that God has created all men to be equal. Not that we have the same gifts, but that we have the same inheritance with Him, and that we have the same opportunities with Him to use our particular gift to the utmost of our purpose that God created us with. Isn't it wonderful to know that God loved us? How many of you know who is the one that needs the love of God the most? Anybody get that in mind? My kids used to say this about myself or Zelma: Dad loves me more. And the other three would chime in: No, I don't think so. Yeah, he does. Look what he did for me. And of course, then they would try to get us to do something else for them, right? Is doing something for someone prove that you love them? Sometimes. Because God did something for us to prove that He loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not what? Who is going to perish? Those who do not hear the gospel message and believe on it is exactly right. So when we look at the love of God, I want you to consider this. The love of God is to those who do not deserve it. Number two, the love of God is needed by those who do not deserve it. And number three, the love of God responds to those who do not deserve it. And lastly, the love of God heals and forgives those who do not deserve it. When I look at my life, I know what it must have been to be like Gomer, because the things I did not want to do, I found myself doing. Gomer found herself back looking forward to the backward part of her life. She thought there was good times back there. Sometimes we talk like that with some of our friends. Do you remember the good old days? And we talk about when we were lost in sin as though they were the best times of our life. I don't want to go back there. How about you? No. I'm reminded as I look at this story today that Hosea takes this woman because God has promised to do something through this gift of love. He could not love her through His own love. He had to be able to respond with something that was supernatural. When you have someone that leaves you and goes into the world and sells herself for just whatever it is that she desires to have, and then you look at that, there's no way that you can go back that way. There's no way that you can go there in your own strength. You may try. There's people that try to do that for their kids, try to keep them out of drugs, try to keep them out of some sinful nature that's destructive for them. And all of their trying and all of their spending, there's only one thing that really works for them. And that is the love of God that you can somehow impart to them. That doesn't mean that you justify their sin. God requires punishment for sin. And He did that through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that it was fully paid through Jesus? Men would bring goats and bullocks every year to have the priest pronounce sin over that animal to go free for a year. Excuse me. And then we find ourselves looking how God, for us, offered His Son one time for all sins. I don't have to come to church today to get forgiven of sin. I don't have to meet with a priest to confess my sin. My high priest already has confessed my sin before the Father. He ever makes intercession for me. And then the glorious love affair that God has with His people is He sent the Holy Spirit to prepare a bride for His Son. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of every believer, preparing us for the great day that Jesus has made available for every believer to rejoice together in. When I look at the things that God has done, I see who deserves love. Who needs the gospel message the most? Those who are the most unlovely. Somebody came and complained. Often this happened. Somebody said this to me, Pastor. You need to love them. That's not the answer I wanted to hear. But that's the answer that needs to be done. Those who act the most unlovely to you, they need the love of God the most. The ones who do the most evil to you, they need the love of God the most. Jesus came for those who did not have their mind on God at all. And yet, it is to those he gives this great witness for us today. Who needs this love? Those that are so unlovely. How does God love respond to those who are unlovely? How does God respond to a Peter that denies him three times? How does God respond to a Paul who's throwing children into a place apart from their parents and their parents into prison? How does God respond to people who deny him and who make fun of him, use his name in vain, who have lived their own life the way they wanted to? How does he respond to them? He forgives them, and he loves them, and he woos them, and he puts individuals in their way. He puts churches in places that are key to be an instrument in that community to bring about the message of God's love. The message of the gospel is this: Jesus Christ, him crucified, nothing else, and he loves you, and he'll forgive you. There's nothing else. There isn't anything else for you to do. There's only two religions in the whole world. The ones that we're talking about here today that expressly say there's nothing you can do to be saved except believe. He did it all. He finished the work one time for all. Everything that you're trying to do to help yourself, the struggling against the thing that so easily besets you, as it said in the King James, the things that you repeatedly do sometimes, or maybe thoughts that you repeatedly have. Jesus already paid for those 2,000 years ago. He's not going to die again. It's a finished work. It's beginning to be time to enjoy the favor that has come upon us, like Gomer did on that second time with Hosea. Now things are going to change. What's going to change? She's the same woman. That part of town's still there. What's going to change? All the past is still there. She's got to live all this down? No. Now she's going to be living it up. Because now she is going to experience the purity of love in a way that she hadn't the first time. She was a failure the first time. She was chosen out of failure the first time. Now she's chosen the second time. Once had a pastor who believed that you could lose your salvation. And so every time he would sin, he felt like he had to not only repent, but get rebaptized. And he told this little story. He said, every frog in the lake down there knew my name. Here comes old Frank. Here comes old Frank. Here comes old Frank. Sadly, the gospel message gets missed in a lot of churches who really, in their hearts, they believe it. It's only by faith. But they try to make it a part of the law and a part of grace all at the same time. And we can't do that. We can't live that way. Otherwise, we've got condemnation that Paul says in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation that are in Christ Jesus. How did you get there? This is a phenomenal story. One day, the woman's a prostitute. The next day, she's the wife of a man of God. One day, she's in sin. The next day, she's in his house, eating from his table, blessed from his hand. One day, she's completely lost. The next day, she's found. You understand that he who knew no sin became sin. He didn't do sin. It wasn't a gradual process. But on the cross, he became sin instantly. So how did you become the righteousness of God? By all that you're doing? Reading the Bible devotions every day, praying every day, fasting in prayer, paying your tithes? Does that do it? No, you're instantly translated, transformed into being a child of God. One moment, you're unsaved. Then you come to faith in Christ, then you're saved. Once you're in darkness, then you're in light. What a difference it made in my life. How about you? Amen? So when I look at these four things that the love of God has come to do, God not only came to forgive our sin, that's beautiful, right? But then he also heals our soul, your will, your intellect, all that decision-making things that goes on, where you feel the five gates of your reasoning, all those things become healed so that you can become inside your soul what has already happened in your spirit. The redeemed, the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. You don't put it under a bushel, you set it up on a lampstand. Amen? So he heals you so that you can be what you were destined to be. He also heals in our body. The same God that forgave us on that cross also declares that by his stripes we are healed. He took the curse. My family was cursed with alcoholism. My grandfather was a full-blown bootlegger. So when I saw this new restaurant on Main Street, it's called Bootleggers down there, I had to take a peek and go in because it must have been named after my grandfather, you know. I went in and I saw pictures that looked just like the pictures I saw of my grandfather. I thought, yeah, these guys are all alike. Then in that case, they were all lost. Because their God was something else. This is really fascinating here this morning. And that understanding that God's grace was waiting all the time. That no matter what my grandfather did, and no matter how often the revenuers came to town and sought him out in particular and gave him a pretty good whipping, because they couldn't prove it in court to put him in jail, so they thought if they could beat him enough, maybe they could knock some sense into him, you know. But one night, after a church meeting where the family had walked to, my family was making some quilts. They were making them at something like 50 cents a piece or something. And they were all sewing, my aunts and one of my uncles. My grandfather sat up in bed, and they were all praying. That evening, they had all went to the altar and received Christ. And they heard a message about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were seeking God. They wanted more of him. Because all of a sudden they were in the light and they saw how much they had lost in their life. My grandfather wanted no part of it. He was up in bed. My one aunt, Bessie, was sitting next to a fireplace that was lit. Fire was roaring in that fireplace. And they described this to me, that as they prayed one after another around that circle as they worked, that the Holy Spirit fell in the room. My aunt, sitting on an apple box, fell back into the fireplace, and the flames did not torch her hair. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit in the room. My grandfather sat up in the bed and was instantly saved and filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. Today, my dad's six sons, three of us pastors, two are elders. And one, he plays music and he's there, and I think God is doing the work on him. My sister teaches Sunday school and is gifted in teaching at that. So when I look at my grandfather and what God did, the healing of the soul goes from generation to another generation. Just as a curse on a soul can do the same. And Jesus not only saved us and forgave our sins, but then he healed inside of the soul. And he gave us a place where we can stand. He put a song, he brought me out of the deep miry clay. And he put my feet upon a rock. And he put a song in my heart, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's done the same for many of you. There may be someone here that is today that maybe you've got one of those repetitive things that you keep failing at. I've got good news for you. There is an answer. Yes, there is. And it's not like dieting. The more you diet, the worse off you get. You go on a diet, you start thinking about food. So you think, I'm going on a diet Monday, so you got to eat today. Amen? Dieters are notorious weight watching, and I'm not talking about the group because they do a good job, I guess, at those they try to help. But I am here to just remind you that the answer is not found on the scale. And the same thing with trying to stop habits in our life and bad living in our life. Condemnation will only stay on top of you as long as you continue to look at how you made the mistake. If you're going to get free from condemnation, you've got to be what? Looking at the source of your freedom. The source of your freedom is Hosea. It's Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. When I look at this book, it ends with, I will heal their backslidings. I will heal their backslidings. I'm not giving them another chance, Pastor. They hurt me one too many times. I can't pray to ask God to forgive them. And I listen to that over these nearly 50 years of ministry for me, and I think they don't understand. They don't understand being lost. They've got so comfortable in knowing Jesus in a religious way, they have forgotten where they come from. They've forgotten how good he is, how wonderful he is. Help us, Lord. Help us to have that tender heart. If you're here today and you feel broken, you've come to the right place. The one who is the heart mender and the heart healer is here, and he's present to touch you now. Thank you, Lord. I pray that the revelation of God and his love and the price he paid through God the Son, Jesus Christ, be revealed to you today. Would you bow your head with me? Lord, you said when Israel was a child, you loved her. And you brought her out of the bondage of Egypt. And you revealed your love for 40 years in the wilderness. Shoes didn't wear out. Clothes didn't wear out. There wasn't one lame that came out of Egypt. But some way in the Passover meal, that type of Jesus that it was, people that were crippled were healed. The halt, the lame, the blind. Not one feeble came out of Egypt. Isn't that amazing, Father, how much you loved them then? That reminds me of how much you love us now. You've been here all the time, waiting patiently. And I pray for anyone who is in that place of condemnation, that place of being burdened. Maybe they have been unlovely. Perhaps they have had attitudes that have been unlovely. You still love them with an everlasting love. Your faithfulness is new every day. It reaches into the heavens. You remove our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west, Lord. So great is your mercy to us. Thank you, Lord. While your head is bowed, I just share this. Everything that has been done to help you has been done. Jesus completed the task. He said it from the altar. It is finished. All we need to do is receive it. Receive it. He loves you. You'll never, ever hear him turn you away. All the Father has given me, I've not lost one. Holy Spirit's drawing this morning. What we felt here this morning, Pastor Ken mentioned it as a sweet spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Godhead is right here in this room right now. Arms open. The hands that meted out the heavens with a span. The living word of God that proceeded and touched Mary, and then the baby was birthed in her womb. The Holy Spirit is here right now to reveal Jesus' love for you. Here's how I think that the Holy Spirit would like to do this today. Would you turn to someone that is there close by you, and would you join hands with them? And I just hear this. I don't know where you've been this week, and I don't know what has happened to you today even. And we certainly don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and next week. But as you join hands, I'm going to ask you to join hands with them now and pray that God would bless them with His love, that they would know that they are loved today. Would you do that? And just working with the Holy Spirit. And if you feel like you need to move and go and touch somebody else and join in prayer with them, I want you to do that during this next couple of minutes of prayer. You may pray with the one that you're joined hands with now, but right after that, if you feel that you need to just go and join in hands and just speak blessing over someone, I want to give you that opportunity to do that right now. And Father, as they are doing that, as they join hands, and as they are praying together with individuals, I just speak over them that the love of God that passes all understanding come upon them now. Heal in the deep recesses where things that might have been hidden, Lord, you knew. You knew it all the time. You knew the hurt. You knew the shame. You've been trying to get it across to them that you do not condemn them. Lord, let it happen today. Let a miracle happen inside of them today. In Jesus' name. Now, if you feel like that you need to go to somebody else, would you do that and just take a moment? We're just going to give just a moment to this. Somebody might be hurting that God may be leading you to. And I want you to take that opportunity, that moment. Lord Jesus, thank you. While you're being obedient, I just worship you, Lord. We thank you. We just thank you for your love. We thank you. Hallelujah. There is no one like you, Lord. You are awesome in this place. We bless your name, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. I bless the work of the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of you today. Pastor Ken is going to conclude the rest of the service.